Dramatic genius. An amazing story, beautifully shot.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm wholly yours. In all the hidden places.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host. And yes, we are here live. I'm not playing a repeat program. I've been under the weather. Deanne's been under the weather. And so we've had to do a couple of repeat programs. But we're back today and here with Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be back.
Good to be, yes, it is good. It's good to have you back. Good for me to be back.
Yes.
And Deanne just stepped outside for a second, so she'll be here in just a minute. So we just want to thank the Lord for today. We want to thank him for his mercies and his grace and his mercies that are new every single morning. And, you know, when things get kind of out of control and you feel like you got stuff going on all around the place, things swirling around when you're in this transition time, you just know when you wake up in the morning that the Lord's mercies are new. So whatever went on yesterday, we can just scrap it.
Yes.
And start anew with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, I'm still a little bit having coughing and stuff, but we got other people here that can talk. And so we just welcome you, and we just pray that everybody's been having a good New Year so far, because we didn't even do a New Year's program, I don't think. I mean, we were here, but we didn't really do a New Year situation thing.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Like, you know, word of the year or anything like that.
We didn't. Wow.
I think we just had one program, and then Deanne was off and on, you know, before you got sick, and you were away. And so welcome, Deanne. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning,
hello,
everyone.
Are you there?
I'm here. Oh, my gosh. So thankful to be back.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be the word. Ooh, thankful, you
thankful,
know?
Yes.
Because Karen was just saying how thankful she is for just a brand new day. And that's interesting because it reminds me of the other day. I didn't recognize the energy that I had. You know, you get used to living, and, well, I'll be honest, for quite some time, I've been living like under what you would think would be normal energy, you know, day to day. You know, we're just talking physical, our physical body, just having the energy that we need, and that's been hard. It's been hard for about a year or so, just living in like very, very little energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that when you do have energy, you're so surprised by it that you don't recognize it, right? And so the other day, I just have to give God praise and just, again, like this word, thankful, like being filled with thanksgiving, entering his gates in thanksgiving, because the other day, I had no idea, but I was just energized. I really was. I felt normal. Mm-hmm. I felt full of like life. And I love it because I get a lot accomplished. And when I get things accomplished, I feel so good. I mean, who doesn't feel good out there, right? When you can accomplish things with energy, just a simple thing called energy, right? And I went to pottery, and I finally made it to pottery. So I had pottery time, and then I went home, I cleaned the car, and then I cleaned the porches. You know, like I was just like, I mean, and I didn't realize how good I felt.
Right.
And until I got to the shower, prior to finishing dinner, I took a shower, and in my shower, it was like he met me, and I just started to weep. And I was just like, even for the simple thing that's really major right now in my life, that just the energy that I need and to feel normal, and to be able to take care of my family and take care of those around me and just be my best, you know? I just couldn't help but weep and say, thank you, God. I can't believe I didn't even recognize. I've lived in that place for so long that I didn't even recognize that today I rejoice. Today I'm living in thanksgiving because of the energy that I had to do what I needed to do.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about back in the earlier days when you're younger, you don't think anything about it because you just feel good. I know when I was in the military working out, you know, but just with age, the younger age, you just have I was the Energizer Bunny. You know, just go. And
that's my husband.
Yeah. And it was so simple. And then, you know, same with you, the last few years, I feel like, wow, you know, I really have to pick my battles on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, I said to my husband the other day, why, why is everything a battle? You know, and he knows quite well, too. And he's like, I just, every day is just, it is hard. And, you know, I just feel like the Lord, you know, that the Lord teaches us perseverance.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, even when it's hard, you just keep going, even though you don't feel good. Like Nanette, I'm sure you didn't feel good all that time, but yet you stayed consistent and you, you know, just continue to put one foot in front of the other. And that's what we do. And through that, you know, the Lord strengthens us and gives us that grace that we need every day.
Yes.
And I truly believe that there's a day coming when we're all going to be Energizer Bunnies, you know, that the Lord's going to really renew that strength. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, I don't know, like he's just going to hand it to us, you know, for those that have been faithful, those that have been faithful to him, and even those that haven't been faithful, he's going to renew our strength, because he says that when we wait upon him, he will renew our strength. So through thick and thin, high and low, ups and downs.
Exactly.
Hang in there.
Like, yeah.
And just know that there is better time coming, better days are coming.
Like, what songs are you singing in the midst of that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the majority of the time, if I go by the basis of how I feel or what I'm feeling, what songs are coming out of my heart during that time, and I still choose to say, you are faithful.
Amen.
You are my healer.
Yes.
You are my peace, my strong tower, my fort. Just recognizing who he is, and not to deny that. Not to deny that he is. I mean, I was coming in the car, and I was listening to, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of it, it's in YouTube, it's Eric Ludi. It's titled He Is, and it was just a reminder of all the things that he is, all the names that he has been given by people, and all the ways he revealed himself within a name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And and how powerful it was again that he is, no matter what, he is.
Right.
And that doesn't change anything.
Yeah, my thing, you know, 20 years ago, when I remember going into my bathroom when we lived down in Broward, just walked in the bathroom one day, just totally exasperated. And I'm like, what is going on? It was just all kinds of warfare and stuff. And I just walked in the bathroom, and then I was like, wait a minute. And it just came to me, well, the Lord gave it to me, no matter how I feel, no matter what I think, God is still the same. He's still there. You know, and it was like, bam, that's, you know, when I get overwhelmed, that's what comes back to me. Mm. You know, that is the revelation that he gave me, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're like, you know, banshees all over the place, and, you know, whatever we have going on or whatever things we perceive, you know, or whatever, the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs and everything, it's, you're right, we can't go by our feelings. We have to know that he is there and that he's going to pull us out in one way or another.
One way or another.
Hallelujah. Mm. Amen. So we see Deanne astutely reading.
Yes, she is. She's just, I know when she gets ready to go, she's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see her pick up her phone.
There's
the word.
Oh, guys, yeah. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we do. But we know when she picks up that phone, she's getting ready to rip.
Yeah.
And so I know she's preparing for that moment. You know, again, if there's nothing else that he can do for us, nothing else he does for us, again, he did it on the cross.
Amen.
And more and more, I am thinking about eternity. Mm-hmm. More and more, it's like I'm setting my eyes on the eternal things. More and more, the world is stripping off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the desires I had once for this world to fulfill me and to give me everything that I thought that I needed. And That's the thing. The cross takes us to eternity. You know, don't miss that. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm a firm believer that we need to fulfill our purpose and our mission before we leave here. But this is a pass-by place. This is a going-through place.
Yes.
And that eternity is far more greater. And again, there's differences of what eternity might be, right? To many, okay? And so I won't get into that, but you know, this eternity, no matter what, is with him. And we have no idea. We're so limited in what we have in our text, right? But we have really no idea what is that going to look like. We get a glimpse here on earth, right? When we feel his presence, we're like, "Ooh," you know, and when we experience something with him, we're like, "Whoa!" But can you imagine that, like, escalated or beyond? So it's like, whenever we're going through these things, just remember, when we're like, you know, "Woe is me," or when we're like, "Oh man, I don't understand this," that he did something in the cross that totally marks our future. It totally marks our future. Amen. It totally gives us an end of ourselves and an end to this place that we have no idea. And we need to start looking forward to it. We need to start believing in that end place. We need to, because I believe that's just going to be so encouraging. Like Karen said, you mentioned death has lost its sting. Man, when you said that.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we came on.
Yeah.
So share that story that you were talking about with that lady with the baby, the stillborn.
Well, you know, when Karen said, I keep hearing, you know, the death has lost its sting, that just touched me right away, because it's like, whoa, because we know people are going through a lot right now. And, you know, for some death is near, or death is raising its ugly head to torment and to cause so much fear in people. And when she said that, I was like, wow, wait a minute. Wow. It did lose its sting. Jesus took the keys of death, right? Jesus took it and he has it. And when you said that, it just reminded me that last week I was listening to this woman. I had no idea she was a woman of faith. I was just listening to her and she was just sharing. It was some kind of broadcast or something on Instagram. I had no idea who she was, but she mentioned how she gave birth to a stillborn and how that was so devastating to her and her husband. And they were in a lot of pain, like they were grieving, but yet she said she, in her silence, she felt guilty because she also felt this peace that kept her. And it was this peace again that we so nonchalantly quote, peace that surpasses all understanding. We just don't know the depth to that. And it is available for each and every one of us, right? And it kicks in when it needs to be, that peace that surpasses understanding. And she felt that. And she kept telling her husband, is it normal to feel this peace? Like, I just delivered a child that we were hoping for. I was dead. Like, how can I be in his peace? Mm-hmm. And so, listen, guys, I don't do the story justice, but she started seeing a faith-based counselor because she's like, oh, no, maybe I got to go deep. Maybe it's so rooted in me that I can't even see it, and I don't want it to come later on in my life. And so, anyway, she went through that process, and she says one of the days that the counselor had her just kind of go back there, you know? Kind of go back there and invite Jesus in that situation. It was like she had a vision instantly. And God was the only one that knew what she really needed to hear in that moment to truly just set her free from all of it. And she said that she started seeing herself again, the room, the smells of the room, the doctor, the nurses, everyone involved that was there in that room that day. And she was holding her child that was no longer with them, vacant. And she looked to her right, and there was Jesus standing there. And Jesus was holding a baby. And she realized, that's our baby. Mm. And the baby was alive in his arms. Wow. But it gets better than this. She said she was like lifted up, and she got to see from bird's eye view, you know, from the ceiling down, everyone. And she said that she saw an angel next to, like, behind every single person there. Mind you, I come to find out now she's a believer, right? But I'm thinking, not every nurse, not every surgical not every the doctor. It's not saying whether they're all believers or not. But yet an angel was behind each and every one of them. Mm. And their hands, what seemed to be a hand for her, was on their shoulders. And then she said the most powerful thing that brought her feeling freedom. She said each angel was crying and that Jesus was crying. Mm. And in their tears, like, she could hear, like, we are hurting with you. Wow. We are hurting with you. Jesus is like, even my angels are crying and hurting with you. And at that moment, she felt just instant freedom. That is what she needed. We all need something differently, right? We're all asking for an answer, a unique answer that only he can answer. But for her, was that was freeing for her to know Jesus and his angels are hurting for us just as much. Mm-hmm. I feel like that speaks so much, right?
Well, compassion beyond our understanding, mm-hmm. not just the peace, but compassion. He is a compassionate Lord, and he understands. He lived on this earth. He suffered everything. Look at everything Christ went through for us. So he is our high priest, and he does understand, and he's so compassionate, right? He looked upon Jerusalem, and what's the sort of scripture? He wept.
Yeah.
He wept because he saw what they were missing. He mm-hmm. knew what they needed. So awesome. God is so awesome. Mm-hmm. But Nanette, you were talking about, you know, for eternity, you know, how he took it on himself. And I had just pulled that up, Colossians 2 and verse 14. Title of the section is not legalism, but Christ. But verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
Every single mm-hmm. thing. It was all taken upon his body, those nail-scarred hands and feet. Mm-hmm. It's all on him. And then he said, and then verse 15, having disarmed, we know this is the devil, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So we have the victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? We have the victory. Mm-hmm. Always, it's there for the taking. It's there for the believing. You know, even that faith as a mustard seed, you know, coming out of being sick. It's been a rough year. Woo, from beginning, I think I said when we drove back from Texas, my husband got very sick. He was sick for about 3 weeks, very bad, ready to take him to the emergency, and he kept refusing. And we just kept praying and believing and pumping him full of all good stuff. And anyway, he got well. Well, then my aunt died. I think I had said that my aunt passed away in Texas, my mom's older sister. So we flew to Texas on Thursday, January 29th. My mother hadn't flown probably in 4 or 5 years. I mean, she's had knee replacements, hip replacement. She's older. It was a rough trip. So that was Thursday. Well, Friday was the funeral, which was very hard. My aunt lived a full life. She was 89, almost 90, praise God, and just all the family. You know, people come together in love. But on Saturday, my mom started coughing. She fell 3 times that night when she got up to go to the restroom. And thank God she didn't hurt herself on the carpet. And then Sunday, we got up to get our things together to leave. And on the way to the airport, I started coughing. Mm. And we got to about an hour away, the airport, Dallas Airport, and we went to the gas station to use the restroom and fill up the tank before turning in the rental car. Well, my mom, I had to get her out to go to the bathroom. She needs help, so I was helping her. She has her cane. And I knew she was being a little weird, so we went to the bathroom, and she wasn't listening to my instruction. She wasn't following my instruction, I should say. We get back to the car, and we couldn't get her in the car. It was the weirdest thing. Like, her brain wasn't connecting with her limbs. Like, she couldn't help us lift herself in the car, push her leg up. I mean, nothing, you know, she normally would step on the step and push herself in the car. Nothing was working. And it's like, what is going on? Mm. Well, somebody told somebody, but the manager of the Whataburger came out, and she said, oh, she said, can I help? She said, I have a handicapped child I can help with, you know. So she starts trying to help us get my mom in the car, and she's like, I think we should call 911. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, we got to catch a flight. I mean, my daughter's like, Mom, really? Anything could have happened on that flight. How could you let her fly like that? So we finally got her in the back seat, dropped the rental car, took the shuttle over to the airport, waited in the airport, and my mom was literally like a zombie. Mm. Like, we couldn't even, she was there, but she wasn't there. We talked to her, and she would just give me like, okay, that's not my mom. My mom's a contentious, very verbal person. And we finally got her on the plane. They had to take her down the aisle in the aisle thing and got her in the seat. And it was so strange. And my stepdad and I were like, as soon as we get off this plane, we're taking her to the emergency. Something is not right. And I could feel she had a little fever. So we got off the airplane, went straight to the memorial walk-in. They are poking her with everything, you know, blood work and checking her heart and just doing all these tests. They did the urine test. That we thought she had a UTI, or we were hoping she didn't have a stroke or an aneurysm. I mean, we had no clue. So fast forward 3 days. Well, I was so sick. I couldn't go home that night. We left my mom at the hospital. They transported her to the actual hospital, checked her in. My dad and I went to the house. I was in bed probably 3 o'clock, got up. I was sick all night. The next morning at 10 o'clock Monday, I just said, I got to get home. I got to get back to Port St. Lucie because I was down in Pembroke Pines. And I'm like, God, give me strength, because I didn't even feel like I had the energy to keep my eyes open to drive. I had fever. I was sick. I had to stop in West Palm for 40 minutes and sleep in my car. I've never done that in my life. And then when I woke up, I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me, because I don't even think I can make it home another hour. I barely made it home, crashed in the bed. Well, 3 days later, my mom finally got released from the hospital. They kept saying, they just said it was the flu. It's the flu. It's the flu. The flu can do that to your brain. Mm-hmm. So they released her. She called me that night and she said, I lost like a 10-hour window from the time we were at the gas station when we couldn't get her in the car to the time she was getting transported in the ambulance to the hospital. She said, I don't remember one thing during that time. Not one thing. She's like, where was I? Where did I go? She said, but I know God was holding me. And everybody was praying. My daughter was praying. We were all praying. So the next day, my mom, I talked to her the next day, and she said, you know, I was sitting here thinking, God, where was I? You know, thank God you brought me back. She said, I sat there and wept and said, God, thank you for bringing me back. Wherever I wasn't here. But my daughter looked it up. It's some kind of influenza, something where it causes the brain to swell, especially in elderly people. And it can be fatal. Can you imagine if my mom would have died on that plane because we didn't take her to the doctor? We didn't feel that urgency to take her, though. I mean, that's where you have to be led by the Spirit. We didn't feel the urgency to take her to the hospital and not get on our flight. But it's just like, we never know. Mm-hmm. We never know what is going to happen. But we know we have the victory. We have the victory over death. We have the victory over darkness. We have the victory over the wicked things of this world and the plans of the enemy. But we just need to pray that simple prayer. And what came to my heart this morning was that James 5, 16, about the fervent. I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it's just a little more powerful. James 5. So in I'll read the whole thing is 16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. This is the one the Lord gave me this morning. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So please do not doubt the power of your prayers. That simple little prayer, even that little faith is a mustard seed, as we said, just that little prayer. When we say the name of Jesus, the demons flee. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, the plans of the enemy is crushed and crumbled. When we speak a holy scripture, just a word of truth, it can be so simple and so short, but God knows that faith, that heart, that sincerity, it has such tremendous power. But the enemy wants to shut our mouth, make mm-hmm. us sick, make us exhausted, make us tired, make us busy, distract us so that we don't pray. And it's really the Lord, between yesterday and today, it's just the Lord is, I listened to a video of this woman who died and came back. It's about prayer. It all mm-hmm. is about prayer.
Hallelujah. And, you know, like we always talk about here on this program, about that intimacy with the Lord. and making him your everything. You know, he is our everything, but like consciously, you know, making that effort to be connected with him and to, you know, allow him. I know it took me a lot of years to allow the Lord to speak to my life. You know, I'd read a lot of scriptures. And I'm, yeah, God, I get it. Yeah, that's great, wonderful. You know, throwing those scriptures out there. But it, you know, it took a while to let him speak to my heart and speak to me what he wanted me to know. And, you know, instead of what I thought he wanted me to know. Because a lot of times we'll kind of go with what the crowd is saying. But he's good, he's faithful, and, you know, that intimate relationship with him is so important. And, you know, today being Valentine's Day, is today? It is, right?
Yes.
So, you know, let's return to our first love today, the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, spend the day thinking about him and, you know, that how he saved you and how he set you free. And just think of all the great things he's done in your life and the things that he still wants to do. You know, he's not done with any of us. He's, I feel like he wants to, well, you know, where he says, I'm going to gather you up, you know, like a mother hen. Mm. You know, I feel like he's like, come on, you guys, you know, just really step up, you know, wanting us to really, you know, go further. Step out a little further and trust him a little bit more and just keep moving forward. You know, that we got to get out of any stagnation we may be in and just put the first toe out there, you know, and let him lead you out into the place where he wants you to go. There's anyway, but let's take a break real quick and we will be right back.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay, we are back.
And all right, Deanne, so you were, as you were saying.
Another scripture the Lord put in my heart. You know, it's true, Karen, like you said, when you're sick and you feel like you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm laying there with fever. I didn't eat for 3 days. I lost a little weight, which is good. Not a good way to lose it, but my boss is like, "Oh, you lost weight." I'm like, "Yeah, about 5 pounds." Mm-hmm. But really, just all I could say was, "Jesus."
Yeah. Yeah.
"Jesus, help me. Jesus, please continue to heal my mom." Mm-hmm. And my dad, you know, I mean, it was just like you feel like that's all you got, you know, it's like, but that's all we need.
That's right.
That's all we need.
It's powerful.
Oh my goodness. So Ephesians, where are we? Ephesians 1 and verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." That's us. We're the body. He's the head. But this, we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We don't have to contend. We don't have to strive. We don't have to battle. You know, these battles, they're not our battles.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're sick, whether you're, you know, whatever struggles you're having in your marriage, your family, your job, I mean, our country, our nation, the world, like, these are not our battles. We know there is a spiritual warfare going on. And Annette, you were saying just this warfare. Mm-hmm. Like, we feel it. We feel it in the atmosphere. We feel all of this. And the enemy just would want, his goal is to silence our voice.
Mm-hmm.
Silence our voice, shut us down, that we can't, we're tired, we don't want to pray, we lose our faith, we're not seeing the results. We're growing weary and you know, believing and seeing no results. We can never, never, never give up. So just 1 minute, my daughter sent me this audio, a 16-minute audio of this woman up in Vermont, elementary school teacher, 42 years old. She died for 33 minutes and 27 seconds. She had a pulmonary embolism and dropped to the floor, and next thing she knew, from her cold face on the concrete floor, hearing kids in the distance, the next thing she said, it was a transition I can't even explain into a realm that you can't even describe. And she said, "I just heard Jesus. He just called my name. He just said, Mary." And she said, "I learned more about him in that minute when he said my name than I learned through every Bible study, through every prayer meeting, every teaching, everything on earth." She said, "Just by him saying my name." And she said, "He started showing me my life. And he started showing me that every single time that I said one little prayer, it could have been 1 minute, he said it tore down all of the enemy's plans that they had been scheming for months." Mm-hmm. When he said, "When you say that prayer, when you spoke my name and said that little prayer over your students, over your school, over your marriage," he said, "but then what happens is," then she saw parts in her life where she didn't pray. "Oh, I don't have enough time. I'm busy." And she didn't pray. And Jesus was always there standing, waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the lady saw Jesus there with the baby. Jesus was always there standing and waiting. And he wasn't upset with her. He knew she would come back to prayer. He knew she would come back and talk to him. But he just said, if you speak of my blood, just say my name. If you speak any word of my holy scriptures," he's like, "it doesn't have to be some big bold thing." But that's what he's saying. The goal of the enemy is to stop our prayers, just to silence us and help us just, "Yeah, I don't believe it. I'm not getting any results. What good does it do?" Or you just don't even realize that, "Oh, when's the last time I really sat and prayed?" And, you know, even, but just those popcorn prayers. So I don't know if I'm getting off track, but it's, we have to talk to Jesus.
Amen. Have a little talk with Jesus.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
I love how she ended that. We just have to talk to Jesus.
My granddaughter would say that.
Go, granddaughter.
But it's true, you know, that he, you know, we don't think of him sitting there waiting on us. You know, we think, oh, he's busy with somebody else. He's listening to every prayer in the world, so he's not paying attention to my prayer. Mm. But, au contraire, yes. He is listening. He's waiting. And,
amen.
You know, the minute we turn, the split second we turn, he's right there. Yay. Mm. And so we just encourage you, again, because it's Valentine's Day, to return to your first love.
Yes.
Maybe you've never even received Jesus into your life. Maybe you've, you know, you might be going to church your whole life. You know about him, you heard about him, you hear everybody preach about him, you know the scriptures, but you've never really invited him to come into your life. And I would just encourage you to do that today and ask him to make himself known to you. Whether it's through his word, whether he, maybe he'll send you somebody when you're doing your grocery shopping in Publix, you know, might be at the doctor's office, you know, just ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to fill your life with every good thing, mm-hmm. every perfect gift. You know, that comes from God. He wants to fill you with that. You know, and even as I'm saying that right here, you know, with my time I spend on social media, it I don't know why, it just irks me. So pray for me if it, you know, if you can discern what's going on. But it just, like, I read something yesterday about healing. This person who, I don't know if they have a, you know, continuing page on Instagram. It was just some random thing that popped up. But it's, you know how they type, they'll type the first page and then you scroll and then it goes like 10 pages over. And this person was saying about Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And right off the bat, they said, you know, this is not what everybody thinks it is. You know, it's like, why would you do that? Why would you say that? So I would think about myself as a new believer. If I read that, then I would think to myself, wow, whatever somebody told me is not right, because this person knows what the right thing is. So they went on to say that, you know, about healing, you know, that, you know, maybe some person will come up to them, you know, they'll just, oh, let me lay hands on you, let me pray for you, and you know, pray that God will heal you, and then boom, you know, you'll be healed. And it was like they take offense to believers that have the faith to believe for your healing. Hmm. And anyway, it turned into this like 10-page thing of why they don't want people coming up and praying for you, you know, because they're realizing that, you know, not that God gave them the sickness or whatever it is they're going through, but that through that, that they're getting to know him, which is all fine and well, but it's both. It's both. He's there to heal. You know, he did it once and for all. He took those keys to hell and death. And if you want to be healed, he's going to heal you. Of course, right. He's going to do it in his way and in his time.
That's right.
And there's no conditions for it. I mean, unless there's unforgiveness in your heart, sometimes mm-hmm. unforgiveness will prevent you from receiving a healing. But anyway, I just had to throw that out there. The things that irk me. So anyway, it just really bugs me, especially now because everything is social media now. So you're hearing all of these different voices. And I just think about what I think about the people that are not charismatics,
that have a platform and they call out charismatics that they think are false prophets. And just because you don't agree with the doctrine doesn't mean that they're a false prophet.
Amen.
And, so another one of the things that irks me, but when you, like you, I watched somebody the other day, a very well-known female podcaster who is slam dunking some person who she believes is a false prophet. So then in the comments, all the people like, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, and I saw, when I look at them, I don't like them. And, so then it begins this whole thing. So this person, it's almost like a pastor is responsible for what they convey to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that podcasters need to think of that as well, when they're, who they're accusing of being a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
If their whole ministry is based on calling out who they perceive to be a false prophet, then, I have some issues with that.
Yeah.
So it's they're leading, and the people that believe them, maybe you've got young believers that this is the only exposure they've had is maybe to this one individual. Maybe they just got saved. So if they begin to believe how this person is, then they're going to look at, remember they mentioned their name and they mentioned that other person's name. So these new believers are going to be, it's already mm-hmm. planted in their mind mm-hmm. who is a false prophet, even though they probably don't know anything.
Well, these podcasters don't realize the influence they have.
Right.
There's power in the podcast. And the Bible says, who is the accuser of the brethren? Right? Who is the accuser
exactly.
of the brethren? It's Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing day and night 24/7, going before the throne of God. So we don't want to be accusers of anybody. We don't have a right to be an accuser of anybody. And that was one of the key things that the lady said in the video when she died and came back. She said she saw that in God, as Jesus was showing her portions of her life, that when she forgave, like a coworker that spoke bad about her,
mm-hmm.
she said that the enemy's plans again were torn down.
Yeah.
Because when we have unforgiveness in our heart, it opens the door and gives the enemy access mm-hmm. to continue to build those strategic plans to kill, steal, and destroy and have access to our life. So unforgiveness, it's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what anyone has said or done to you. I mean, I find myself and my husband, I have an argument and I know I'm right and he's wrong. But it's like, Father, I forgive him for he knows not what he does. We cannot allow that right. bitterness, that root of unforgiveness to take root in our mm-hmm. heart.
Yeah, amen. And I think, when I hear, because we all encounter a lot of people in different walks of life, and the key thing to do is to really listen, right? To really listen to their story, really listen to their heart, wherever they are in the faith, wherever they are in life, and their belief systems and all of it, and just to really, really hear them and again meet them where they're at, right? And it's interesting because, you hear so much, and again, wow, healing being such a controversial subject, such
right.
a painful subject.
Mm.
And, we just have to be sensitive because, yes, we know what the scriptures say clearly about unforgiveness and about these things. But I just encourage the people listening to the broadcasts and just because invite Jesus to show you and to speak to you concerning you and your healing,
right.
whatever mm-hmm. you're facing, because he does speak. And he'll begin to show you areas of unforgiveness. He'll begin to show you maybe roots of bitterness and resentment, things that have... truly, because there might be a separation from the realm that we're living, earth, right? Physical. But there's also a spiritual realm, okay? And so I think that line is getting thinner and thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that process, the best thing to do is to ask him and allow him to come in and to take you through that process and trust him and obey what he is requiring and asking of you when it comes to that, you know, healing journey. Because at times it is that. It is,
yes.
Do you know there's some unresolved things in your heart that's just causing this stress. And then the stress is inviting this. And this invites that. You see what I'm saying? These layers. And only mm-hmm. he can get through them. And only he can take your hand if you're willing to go through whatever process it is. And sometimes healing is instant.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes a person to lay their hands, because it's also in the scripture. Mind you, everything is in the Bible.
That's right.
We can't do away with one or the other. We can't pick mm-hmm. and choose what we believe.
Right.
It is written. It's your choice to believe it or not. And I just want to remind people, too, that there is going to be this falling away. And we've been seeing it more and more. Just the little... Mm-hmm. Little glimpses of people we know, right? They used to walk with us, that no longer walk with us in the faith. People we know who just, and there's many ways for it. And I just opened it up here. And it says the Bible mentions falling away. And these are the scriptures, you know, at least three of them. 2 Thessalonians 2, Hebrews 6, and Matthew 24. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, it says, the Bible says that a falling away or apostasy will occur before the Lord returns, okay? This chapter also says that the people should not be easily shaken in their minds by false information about the coming of Christ. So both are happening, okay? We just need to discern, right? Hebrews 6. 4-6, it says, the Bible says that people may encounter roadblocks and detours on their journey, okay? Keeping them from salvation, okay? In Matthew 24:10-13, it says, the Bible says that many people fall away from faith and that false prophets will arise to lead people astray. Some say that people may fall away because they're distracted. Others say that the man of sin will pose as God and deceive people who have all rejected. So these are all the things that are coming, okay? The reasons for apostate motion to occur to your life. The reason for a falling away. And I'm seeing it more and more in people. I'm seeing people who are just distracted, doing, and less time with the Lord, less time in gathering with others. And they don't even see it. Okay, I'm seeing those who are falling away because I've been stricken with this sickness, you know, or a death of a family member, or I'm not making ends meet. I'm homeless now. You know, all of these, just crucial catastrophes, traumatic things that people are facing. But in the midst of that, there's also so much good going on right now. And so I just want people to be aware that this is falling away. So again, return to your first love. Return, especially what day? What day better than today? Instead of marking it as a holiday that we just put in the calendar that the rest of the world kind of celebrates.
Mm-hmm.
How about a day just... It means a day of salvation, a day of renewing your vows, a day of saying, Lord, just keep me closer than ever so that I don't fall away. Or maybe I have been in an apostate state. Bring me back to you.
Yes.
We encourage you that great things are happening in the midst of it.
Yes.
People are coming to the Lord. Great things are happening in the midst
Amen.
Of it. We're growing
Amen.
Stronger and stronger in the Lord, even if our bodies are withering, guys. The in internal man is growing stronger and stronger in the Lord.
Yes.
And we just have to bear arms and bear each other's burdens. It says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing, mourn with those who are mourning, and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Be kind to one another.
Yes.
Listen truly to what people are saying and meet them where they're at and bring that good news. And bring those answers that we can only find in His Word and being in the presence of our Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So just when you were just saying that, I thought about this Daryl Evans song, which we have here on the station. And when I was going home the other day, it came on. This is from, maybe it's from the 90s. I don't know. Draw Me Closer to Your Heart, Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, so I'm in the car, I'm driving, I'm like, wow, I haven't heard this for so long. And that's the song that just came up, and I was looking for the lyrics to, you know, just say to the Lord, draw me closer to you.
Amen.
When you feel like you're just out and about and you don't know where you are, just ask the Lord, draw me close to you. And, you know, and the word says that, you know, God said, "When if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you."
Amen.
So when you ask him, he'll come. So just encourage you to draw close to him today and ask him to draw you. Because sometimes, you know, we try to get there on our own and, you know, we can't. We ask him, you know, by his Spirit to draw you into himself.
Amen.
So that you can you know, just have that time with him. Yep.
Well, the Lord did give me a beautiful word the beginning of the year, January 4th, and I hadn't felt prompted to read it until today.
Amen.
Because it is, God is love, and we're returning to our first love. Amen. So we're going to hear what God, love, has to say today. So he says, I am with you every hour, every day, every time and season for all eternity. If you love me, desire me, come to me, and receive all of me, you will inherit my kingdom. My kingdom is forever. I rule and reign over all of creation, the things you see and the things you cannot see. In your humanity, you are limited, but by my Spirit, there is no limit. He will show you and reveal much as you hunger and ask for him to come. He is living in you as a born-again child of God. Do you talk to him and acknowledge his deity, his person? He is my power, wisdom, truth, and representative on earth. When you talk to him and invite him into your day and life, as a gentleman, he will accept and manifest. In the beginning, as I spoke creation into existence, he was there to carry out my sovereign word and plan. He is us and is on the earth to bring us, Jesus and God, to life. You will need him more and more in the days to come. Practice communing and fellowshipping with him now, so as events and circumstances arise, it will be natural to rely on and include him to have all power. You are weak, but he has all power and strength. It is not by might or power, but by my Spirit. He will lead you into all truth, peace, and victory over darkness and assaults of the enemy. Walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led by Holy Spirit, and be one with him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
There you go.
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
And if you'd like a copy of that, no. I know you get your notebook there with all your awesome words that he gives to you.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But yeah, we have to rely on and include and commune continuously with Holy Spirit. That's why he was sent to us.
Amen. All right, well, we're out of time for today. So we thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you next week. God bless. Thank you.
J.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.